dance, we're doing it from pole to pole. We can dance, we can dance, everybody look at your hands. We can dance, we can dance, everybody's taking the chance. Dance.
It's safe to dance, oh, it's safe to dance. Yes, it's safe to dance.
Welcome to Talking Giants, presented by SeatGeek. I'm your host, Bobby Skinner, here with my co-host, Justin Panic, and we're looking at the safeties in this draft class, and the Giants signed Jordan Phillips. Justin Panic, how are you doing?
Bobby Skinner, I'm doing good. I mean, this is really a position of need for the New York Giants. I believe I did a poll, not really a poll, but I recorded like almost 200 responses of Giants fans, and I asked you to prioritize the Giants' top five positional needs outside of quarterback. And I'm pretty sure the votes that won positions of need 3 and 4, number 1 and number 2 were cornerback, but 3 and 4, the favorite was safety. The Giants need some safeties, and I am excited about Jordan.
4 and 5 because O-line was 3.
Ah, I forget about the offensive line. So 4 and 5, the only position to repeat twice in that. So number 4 and 5, Giants need a safety, and I am excited about Jordan Phillips. Like, this is a signing that I am, you know, for what you can get on April 11th. I am a little jazzed up about it. Giants add a little D-line depth.
Yeah, we haven't seen the contract details. We don't know. I think you're... So, actually, let's talk a little bit for a second about your poll.
I'm going to pull it up so I get it right.
So, I know what it was. Wide receiver was 1, corner 2, offensive line 3, and then safety was 4 and 5 for people's needs. I feel like people took that as... not what is the Giants' biggest position of need, but what is the position that, one, you want drafted at 6, or would you want a great player at, right? Like, if you said, hey, we're adding an average player who is a lower-level, starting-level player to this roster, no one would say, we got to do it for wide receiver. It would be offensive line, corner, safety, you know, all those other positions where wide receiver, you're kind of okay to get by there. But I really think people just like, pick 6. People are very much stuck up on pick 6, which I want a wide receiver at pick 6 if they're not able to get Drake May. But that's not their biggest position of need either outside of quarterback.
So you would say, so would you put cornerback number 1?
Either corner or offensive line. I actually did this on that solo mailbag I did. I remember I had wide receiver at 5. And maybe I could even pull the clip.
Because maybe I'm sure you're taking into account positional value too. So cornerback, O-line, yes, and then safety. But I would even say, just from a body standpoint, you know, it was really funny. Shelfie, our guy Shelfie from John Boy Media, he's an Eagles fan. And somebody asked me, well, who's the other Giants starting safety? And I almost forgot. I'm like, oh, but well, Shelf, you're an Eagles fan. It's this guy that was on the Eagles team, and it's Jalen Mills, right? That's the other projected Giants starting safety right now. So I guess maybe you can even argue from a body standpoint, they need corner number 1. From a body standpoint, O-line, at least they have guys, but safe, they just don't have a lot of guys right now. They don't have a lot of dudes.
Yeah, so I went QB, interior offensive line, corner, safety, and then wide receiver as 5. Obviously, you didn't include QB. You did outside of quarterback.
Yeah, because everybody would just say quarterback.
Yeah, which makes sense. I agreed with it. But safety is a need. Is it the biggest positional value? No, but it is a need, right? Like, I'm not super comfortable starting Dane Belton. You know, Jalen Mills is not someone that I trust as a starting player. Pinnock is a starting level player in the NFL, but I don't think he's a huge advantage for you either. So safety is definitely a need. Justin, let's talk about Jordan Phillips, though.
Yes.
The Giants signed defensive tackle Jordan Phillips, 6'6", big dude from the Buffalo Bills, 31 years old. You know, he's been in the league for a while. He's a solid player. Now, he's dealt with some injury stuff with Buffalo. But the Giants, you know, defensive tackle is a need as well, too. There's basically almost every position on this team is need. Like, they lost A'shaun Robinson and Leonard Williams this last year, right? A'shaun Robinson, when we did our defensive tackle review, it was like, man, he was really top of the league in these run defense metrics, and it showed up on film. It showed up on film even before Leonard Williams was traded. Then we all know Leonard Williams is a really good player in the league. They were stuck with Dex, obviously being a great number one, Nacho, and then you had Jordan Riley and DJ Davidson. They were in a bad spot. I still don't think Jordan Phillips stops you from drafting anybody in this draft either, but they kind of needed somebody to get in there because they didn't. And he's not a... I don't... you don't look at Jordan Phillips and like, oh man, this guy's a great pass rusher, but he can like rush the passer pretty solid. Like his best play, like, you know, he has good moments as a pass rusher when he's going after one gap.
Did you know that 3.5 out of his last 4 sacks came during week one games? So get ready for a Jordan Phillips sack week one. I mean, and I don't know if anybody remembers, but the Rams and the Bills week one of 2022 were that entire line eight. But in particular, like Jordan Phillips was a player that stood out, and that was like a big Von Miller game, and even Ed Oliver, I'm sure, did some fun stuff too. But Jordan Phillips, it kind of almost every time I watch the Bills, and a lot of time, you know, maybe they're on primetime week one, you're kind of watching every team week one. So Jordan Phillips has been a guy that's kind of stood out, making some good nitty-gritty plays every once in a while. So I'm excited about this. Do I think he's as good as A'shaun Robinson? No. No, definitely not. I certainly don't think. But let's look at the contract. Let's say, hey, get good value. Let's maybe get close to a vet minimum. Maybe you'll get a little bit more because interior D linemen are getting paid a little bit right now. But yeah, this guy's exciting because I think he's exciting for an April 11th signing that you can get at interior defensive lineman. And I think he can bring some flash plays. And he's already a really big dude. He's a long dude and everything like that.
And we know Shane Bowen's defense is going to be more attacking, like trying to get in the backfield more so than two gapping. And that's where Jordan Phillips is at his best, playing one gap, working to penetrate and cause havoc in the backfield as a run defender. And then as a pass rusher, you know, he's got those flash plays that he shows on film, even though he's not going to finish at the quarterback very much. He's going to put together some good pass rush reps. Now, again, defensive tackle is still a need. Like, Jordan Phillips being your number two, you don't feel great about it, but
no,
he's a solid player. He's played 45% of the snaps the last 2 years for the Buffalo Bills on a pretty damn good defense. So, solid signing for the Giants. Want to see the contract first. If it's close to the vet minimum, then it's a solid signing. If it's $5-6 million, I don't know if it's worth the investment there.
No, yeah, not. It's got to be close to that vet minimum.
Yeah. All right, Justin, before we get into these safeties, this episode is brought to you by special people. We've got Dylan Cooper, the strong, silent type. Mm. Check out the draft hoodies, by the way. And then Gabriel Caldera. I have my friend's son is named Gabriel, so I don't think you're my friend's son, but you're my friend, and you may have a son. Justin, who are these people?
Patreon.com/TalkingGiants. There's one G in that, just in case you didn't know. $2 a month. There's some other tiers, too. Bobby will send you some stickers in the mail. You get to hang out with us while we're recording the shows. It's going to be good for draft night. That first round reaction, or even the draft recap, is going to hit different. May even say, like crack. Patreon.com/TalkingGiants. There's some shirt raffles as well. There's some really nice shirts. I like our retro-looking shirts the best.
Yeah, if you sign up in the next day, you've got a chance at the April shirt raffle. I'm going to do that this weekend. Justin, this safety class, it doesn't have that number one that like a lot of classes do, or anyone who's even thought about as a first rounder. You know, Kyle Hamilton a couple years ago, Brian Branch didn't go in the first round, but he should have went in the first round. He's a first round player. But I do think there's a nice cluster of second and third round guys. Like I have, you know, I have one, two, three. I'll just say their names instead of trying to surprise it. There's at least out of the guys I watch. I haven't watched the Caleb Bullock, the USC guy, but I have Malik Mustafa, Tyler Newbin, Dadrian Taylor Demerson, and Cam Kitchens, and then Cole Bishop as like five guys who, if they go, like all are worthy of being picked in the second round, maybe not the top of the second round, and are like really good third round value. So if the Giants are there at pick 70, safety to me can very much be in play. And we see safeties just seem to fall every single year. Even again, first round talents like Brian Branch fell to the middle of the second round.
You mentioned pick 70, and I'm seeing a lot of a cluster of safeties on the consensus board that are around pick 70. Cam Kitchens, 72. Cole Bishop, 77. Kalen Bullock, 78. Jaden Hicks, 79. We don't like him. We'll get to it. And then DTR from Texas Tech. We'll talk about him. He's pick 100. So all around kind of that cluster. And it's also very funny. I saw Research Rick start to put out recently, and you know, doing a horizontal look at Dane Brugler's big board, about how there is a lot more, seems to be a lot more value and a lot more traffic around the Giants' third-round pick versus second-round talent. Like, there seems to be a lot more volume of players that are maybe more interesting. So that's interesting to see research.
Which I agree with that. Like, I haven't done all the evaluations that Dane Brugler has done. I'm about to hit 100. But, like, I keep on, like, the biggest cluster for me is, like, third round and then low second round. That's, like, talent-wise for me, where, like, the high second round grades, I haven't been given out a lot of those. Obviously, you got a lot of evals to get done.
Yeah.
And some I won't get done. So I also put this out there the other day, Justin. Mm-hmm. The Giants have pick 70. I'd be interested to see, because they only have six picks and so many needs, like every single draft preview we're talking about, it's a position of need, if they'd be willing to do the opposite of the Jalen Hyatt trade, like essentially getting your picks back from the Jalen Hyatt trade, where the Texans have a fourth round pick and then the 83rd pick, where it would be basically like doing the exact opposite of the Jalen Hyatt trade. So you go up and get your guy Jalen Hyatt, and the next year you recoup those picks. So trade, I can see them also doing that too.
Trade the third round pick, you're saying?
Yeah, so like drop back from pick 70 to 83 and pick up the Texans' fourth rounder.
I would even be thinking trade back from your second round pick.
Yeah, but I just thought about that scenario because it'd be like the exact same trade as the Jalen Hyatt trade.
Yeah, I mean, I think in this case, 70, pick 70 is valuable. Well, I guess if you view that there's a lot of players that are ranked around 70, wouldn't it make more sense to... All right, well, we have more bullets around this range. I don't know. I was even just thinking about trading back from the second round pick and then trading back and getting more opportunities at players that you view in that range of 50, 60, 70s, et cetera.
Yeah, that could be a good play too, where I think me and you are both on the same page as the first round pick. Let's not trade back on that unless you're trading back to a spot where you're going to get Romo
Dunes.
This
team needs superstars. Let's get a superstar. Unless, I guess, somebody blows you away with an offer, but yeah. I don't anticipate that with three quarterbacks going in the top three. So.
No, absolutely not. Justin, let's get into these safeties. Who do you want to hit first?
First of all, I want to take a victory lap because you mentioned Brian Branch, and oh boy, was I right.
We love Brian Branch.
And number two, we had a little bit of a discussion on this show. Is he going to play slot corner? Or is he going to play safety? Where did he play this year?
Both.
Oh, I see. That's where I disagree. That's where I disagree. Because PFF has him as 624 snaps in slot corner, 127 in the box. So I guess he did also play safety. But he wasn't a deep safety. He was primarily a slot corner. So I'm going to take that as a W, Justin. You want to start off with...
We've done a pretty solid job on safeties. Antoine Winfield was one that we identified and really were high on. We wanted him at pick 36 that year, which I think him and McKinney are kind of a toss-up as far as a player.
Do you want to start off with Tyler Newbin, the guy that we just decided to add right before the show started?
Yeah, we added Tyler Newbin. For some reason, I'm like, oh, okay, he's not going to be in the Giants range, but he also might. And I just didn't want to talk about Sione Vaki out of Utah that much just because, I don't know, I think he's a late day three pick, but I do have a write up on him. I guess we could start with Tyler Newbin. We're not going to go in order of my big board, but I will tell everyone my big board towards the end. The first guy so we're going to talk about is Tyler Newbin, the safety out of Minnesota, 6'1", 199 pounds. Justin, he has 12 interceptions the last three seasons for Minnesota. He is someone who just understand, like, I think he has the best just understanding of the safety position in this class and creating turnovers at it, right? There's maybe some guys who, you know, since play a little better, but like, he's not going to get over aggressive, right? Where a lot of, like, there's guys who, like Cam Kitchens, who I love, there's times where he is over aggressive. Tyler Newbin's not that, but he does a great job of reading the QB's eyes while playing his coverage, but also like baiting quarterbacks into mistakes and then pouncing on them.
Yeah, man. He first stuck out to me when I was watching Minnesota versus Nebraska, Matt Rule's first game, first week of the season. I'm like, man, who is this? Who's this number 27 just flying around the field? I think Minnesota has like two good safeties too. But who's this number 27 just flying around, making plays, anticipating where he needs to go? I think that's the key. The key phrase this episode that at least I'm going to go to often, there are some players that don't anticipate and they react, and there are some players that anticipate where the ball is going to go, what's going to happen, and Newbin is really good at that. And when you have athleticism to pair with it, that's obviously, you know, also a plus, where there are some of these safeties, you know, maybe they can anticipate, but they're not the best athletes. And I feel like Newbin has kind of the best of both worlds. And he's also not tremendously small. He's 6'1", 199 pounds, at least I hope that's, yeah, that's the right, yeah. That's his combine measurement. So he's not a small guy too, where a lot of these guys we're talking about, it's like, oh, they play well and they're instinctual, they play fast, they want to play hard, they want to tackle hard, oh, but they're really small. So I think Newbin, kind of between the range that he has, the brain that he has, his ability to anticipate, plus his athleticism, plus his body, I think you're looking at a player that's going to be solid in the NFL. Plus, there's a line of safeties that have come from the University of Minnesota in Antoine Winfield. Newbin actually had to wait for Antoine Winfield to leave, and then he was able to get his shine and his run at Minnesota.
Yes, and he is versatile, right? Like, he can handle man coverage.
He can handle box duties too, like free safety and being in the box.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's physical in the run game, and when he's up in the box, he'll go up there and shoot gaps to make plays there. I know he doesn't have a bunch of tackles for a loss, but like, he can make plays at the line of scrimmage. So he's well rounded. You know, I have his speed as good, not great. He didn't test at the combine to measure that up, but we're gonna talk about safety 40 times with our next player.
Yeah, he ran a 4.59 40, which isn't great. But at the end of the day, here, I'll even
my take on safety 40 times for the next player.
I'll save it too,
because I want to really hit it home. Yeah. Because
Antoine Bethea really taught me my talking point about that.
So again, he's just a versatile player, and he's just great at baiting quarterbacks and making plays. And is he going to be facing bad college quarterbacks all the time? No.
No.
But what he's going to be in some type of defensive system that is going to look for weaknesses in QBs and tendencies, and he's going to be a good player to do that, where you can rotate him post and pre-snap. You can play him down in the box. You can play him deep. You can put him out of slot on a tight end. You know, I don't think he's going to be the best man cover safety in the NFL, but he can hold up there where you're not worried about him getting exposed. So
yeah,
Newbin's a solid player. I don't have him as my safety one, but he's a good player, and he should go in the second round.
Are we talking about whoever you have as your safety one?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the guy who I have, and we talked about him in the way too early draft preview.
I want to take a timeout, because I'm even sitting here thinking myself, we should have done this at the start. What do you think Shane Bowen is looking for in a safety?
Versatility. The ability to rotate post. Versatility and being smart, which, again, Tyler Newbin is a great fit in that.
And they're going to look to, you know, Wink obviously played a lot of cover one single high. We're probably going back to a system that's playing more two high, correct?
Yeah, or even, you know, yeah, and playing single high types of coverages, you know, or three deep coverages while starting from too high and rotating down. So having both guys being able to do that can do something. That's okay. Why, you know, Jason Pinnock being there is good, because Jason Pinnock is capable of being doing every role. He's not great, but he can handle every role.
Okay.
The next guy is someone who I also think is versatile, and that's Cam Kitchens, the safety out of Miami. Fell in love with him in the way too early draft preview, Justin. 5'11", 203 pounds. He has 11 interceptions in 22 games, Justin, and that is not on accident. Now, he's aggressive. He can be a little over-aggressive, but I think it's very controlled and smart. You know, like, he has the trigger. Like, if he sees a route concept, I'm getting ahead of it, right? I'm taking this crosser out. I'm eliminating this. You know, when he's turning his zone into, like, we're matching and turning this into man coverage, he does a great job fighting for that inside leverage. And he's just going to play his responsibility while, again, like Newbin, watching the QB to make instinctive plays. Now, there's times where watching the QB can leave him out of place. I think that's where Newbin would be a little better than him. And I think he is probably, like, the best play center field safety out of this class. And you're going to say, Bobby, well, how? He runs a 4.65 40, which is a very bad combine time. Justin, I went and looked at the last few years of the draft of 40 times for safeties. To me, I think Cam Kitchens is fast. I don't think that 40 time reflects his game speed. Second, safety is the ultimate position of your play speed is much more important than your time speed. There's guys who can run fast, but they don't read things well. They're late, and okay, if you're a half second late, but you run a 4.32 compared to Cam Kinches, who's like figuring this stuff up and runs a 4.65. Well, guess what? That half second, he's ahead of you, right? But also, I just don't think the 40 time reflects what his speed. I think he is a very rangy safety. You see him make those interceptions from center field, you know, cutting plays from the underneath. Justin, I went and looked at 40 times of safeties. Brian Branch, 4.58, which I think is the slowest out of these guys. Hufanga. Xavier McKinney. Do we think Xavier McKinney is some slow, unathletic safety?
No.
He ran a 4.63. Kyle Hamilton ran a 4.59. Hufanga ran a 4.65. Geno Stone ran a 4.62. I mean, we just put three all-pros in there. A guy who was a defensive rookie of the year candidate and Xavier McKinney.
Yeah, and I think it's all about the angles that you take, too. And I think Cam Kitchens takes really good angles to the football and to ball carriers.
Yeah, it's like the biggest strength of his game is when he sees it, he gets the correct angle. Now, I think Brian Branch, funny enough, who had the fastest 40 time of those guys, is actually the slowest, you know, on the field, where you saw Brian Branch's speed get him when he was facing Jalen Hyatt or Xavier Worthy. Now, those are two guys who you can live with beating you deep, but he did like give up touchdowns to those guys because of his lack of speed. But we're not talking about Brian Branch. But again, I just, like, when he's in split safety, he's patient, right? From center field, he's going to take chances. But you kind of have to take chances if you're going to make plays from that center field spot. There's so many center field post safeties who, oh, well, they didn't take this big risk. They, you know, they're playing in their position. Well, guess what? The ball's being completed on the sideline because he stayed honest to the center of the field.
You want a trivia question?
Hit me.
You may already know this. First Miami defender to reach 10 interceptions since what player?
It's got to be Sean Taylor because Ed Reed came out. It's Sean Taylor.
You know what's funny? I didn't even write down the answer. Pretty sure it's Sean Taylor.
Yeah, it has to be Sean Taylor.
And the only player in college football to combine for 10 interceptions the last 2 years. And yes, it is. I believe Ed Reed also did it.
Yeah, I know for a fact Ed Reed did.
Ed Reed and Sean Taylor. Yeah, you already mentioned lack of long speed concerning. I had that as a question, and I think playing fast and being, you know, taking good angles, I think that stuff is really important. I think out of all positions, right, where you talk about athleticism. Now, I think Joe Shane does have a type, and I still think safety, like if you look at the, McKinney wasn't a Joe Shane draftee.
Dane Belton's not super fast.
No, Pinnock, I feel like Pinnock maybe. Pinnock is a really good athlete, but IQ and awareness, you talked about that. I just love the ball production. There's another guy on this list that has insane ball production that I think is pretty close to Cam Kitchens. I think you can even get him possibly a little bit later than Cam Kitchens. But I will even say this: so the Dane Brugler has him 79 overall. And the consensus board has him 72. Where do you have him?
Cam Kinchins?
Yeah.
I don't have like a full board to say he's this number, but I have him higher than that.
Okay, yeah.
Like I view him higher than that.
Like this is third round.
I think he should be top 60, absolutely.
Top 60.
Hey, if he falls, he falls. But if we're at pick 70, he is probably the guy that I'm banging on the table for. Like, I don't know what other players that, I guess, from the consent, like, I'm not looking at the consensus big board right now, but I just don't know if there's going to be many players who I just think are going to be better pros than Cam Kinchins that are going to be lower than that.
They have Javon Bullard and Tyler Newbin higher, and 52 and 45
Newbin is understandable. Buller to me is crazy to be higher.
Yeah, I think that's a little crazy too. And the main thing about Kinchins and why I think, you know, it's respectable to be high on him and this high on him, 21 and a half years old. So that's a plus for Joe Shane. But also, you just mentioned all these guys that have comparable 40 times or long speeds to them that I feel like have similar play styles. Ball hawks, guys that are aggressive, guys that take good angles, instinctual guys with ball skills. I mean, this is the type of safety that we've seen work in the NFL and be good NFL players.
Every year we overthink this shit because of 40 times. Every single year. You know, I was talking with Anthony from Cover One, who also is just like all in on Kinchins. He's like, I see the testing. I don't care. Like, he is the ultimate, like, I don't care what the testing says. Show me his film and tell me that guy's slow. Show me Cam Kitchens' film and tell me the plays where he's slow.
Yeah.
As in the run game, he's quick, quick, aggressive trigger to get downhill. He will have some misses, even though I think he takes good form, right? So I don't view it as an issue for him, but he does have that happen sometimes when he'll get a little over aggressive. And then they didn't ask him to play a ton of man. And this showed up at the Senior Bowl. This was where he disappointed me a little bit, the Senior Bowl.
This is where my final note is, where did he fall short at the Senior Bowl? So I'm glad you're talking about this.
Where he played, so in one-on-ones, when you're playing man coverage, he would play from off, which is, hey, that's reasonable, right? He's a safety. He would just not close that cushion, right? Like, he was waiting for the 10, 11-yard routes to undercut, and he did a great job. I think the best rep in one-on-one versus Ladd McConkey, the Senior Bowl, was Cam Kitchens, where he runs like a 12-yard in, Cam Kitchens undercuts it and breaks the pass up. But when it was the quicker routes, like slants and stuff like that, well, he just kind of gave that cushion and didn't do anything to close up that space. Now, that's also, that can be a system of the one-on-one drill and the way a guy's going to play it, but it does show up on film from time to time, even though he wasn't asked to play a ton of man coverage.
Yeah.
So I agree. My safety one.
He's your safety one, and we've seen safeties in the past that have been comparable to him, just like good football players. Or, you know, hey, you can look at edge rushers, you can look at some other positions, and the good athlete can project, right? You can project the good athlete and why he may work in the NFL, but safety is just one of those positions. And I mentioned like Antoine Bethea before as an example, because he was just so bad at this, just so bad at like awareness and anticipating. And like, doesn't matter how fast you are, if you just don't know what's going
to, I mean, Bethea was great in his time,
but if you don't know kind of what's happening around you, and if you can't anticipate, then you're not going to be good. So, Cam Kitchens, I'm for it. I'm with it.
Bethea was washed, and fuck James Betcher. So we're not talking about Cole Bishop, because we talked about him with Nick Filato. My rankings would go Kitchens, Bishop, and then Tyler Newbin. Do you want to talk about who's probably next for us, Justin? Or do you want to talk about someone who's next for a lot of guys, but we, or at least I, disagree strongly?
I want to stay on the excited train.
Okay, and then there's two more guys that I really like before we get into that. How about that? Then we'll lay the hammer on somebody. Then we'll really judge some college kid. Next would be Dadrian Taylor-Demerson, safety out of Texas Tech.
Yep.
Yeah, I put him in the mock draft in the fourth round, Justin, for the draft month mock.
Oh, good.
5'10", 197 pounds. He did run a good 40 time at 4.41, and he plays to it too, Justin. What you see with him is the speed, the great change of direction. Like, he's just smooth on the field, and like, great ball skills. I think he's pretty damn good in man coverage. The negatives to me, Justin, are, one, he's bad against the run. He's not a good run defender. And the other one is a positive and negative. He plays to his instincts, which is going to make plays for him, but he also gets left out of place at times, like just chasing the backfield action, like leaving him like, there's times where you may be out of place or you make a bad mistake. There's times where he's like really bad out of place. But man, like he's just sticky in man coverage. He's got like good instincts and makes those plays in zone. He's a fun player to watch.
He's a very fun player. And I'm pretty convinced that if you get DTD, you're gonna get a steal. And you're
right.
You've been
saying like DTR and RTD and JTD.
It's because I have my notes in front of me, and if I can't read my screen correctly, then that's an issue.
DTD is a bad three-letter thing. It just doesn't flow.
Like, it is. We're that's why he goes by the nickname Rabbit, which I love.
Is he from Pahokee?
Have you
heard the lore of Pahokee? Like Anquan Boldin and all those guys, where they it's a high school in Florida where they would chase rabbits?
No, he's from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
Oh. They used to chase rabbits and catch them. Their football field had ants on. They were in our division, Justin, and we lost them 28-0, and that was like the sign of being a good team. They won the state championship like 49-0 at halftime. Shout out Anquan Boldin and
Pahokee. Shout out Anquan Boldin. 33 pass deflections over the last 3 years. 13 in 2021 and 12 in 2023 particularly sticks out. Three interceptions in 2021 and 2022. And in 2023, he has four. So that's 10 in the last 3 years. Besides Cam Kitchens, Bobby, I don't know if anybody has that same ball production.
Newbin does as well.
But, I mean, he's 23, so he's been playing ball for – he's been playing college ball for a long time, even going back to 2019. So, you know, a little older, I'm sure Joe Shane really doesn't fully love that. But, man, I love the ball production. Straight line speed, he has it. It's good enough for his safety with the awareness and the range that you look for. So, hey, not going to complain if you have that straight line speed, and DTD certainly does have it with that. Yeah,
he's just smooth. Like, he's a really smooth mover on the field.
Good feel for route combos and senses where the QB is looking to go. Anticipates. I think he shows toughness as a tackler, but he is a little undersized, so I don't know if I really want him as a box safety. And here's the bottom line, man. Like, watching him, the Giants need a free, like, particularly they need a free safety. I think they need just safeties in general. They need good players. The Giants need a free safety, and there is one right here who I think they could get for good value. Brugler has him 96 on his board, and he's 100 on the consensus board. If the Giants can get him around there.
That fourth round pick, that's where I put him, Justin.
I would love that. That would be awesome.
Yeah, that's the right place for him. Like you said, is he going to be a good run defender? No. Like, can he? He doesn't really miss tackles, but he does go low. Like, looking, he's not going to square up. Like, he's an angle diver. Yeah, he very much is like, understands that. Like, hey, I'm not just going to bust up these dudes. Who the next guy? Oh my, I'm about to put up together a tackle highlight reel for this guy. So yeah, he's just, like you said, he is a deep safety who's going to make plays. You got to clean it up a little bit to, you know, not get him out of place, because he'll follow the QB's eyes, which again is good. It's a good thing, but it can be a bad thing too, and especially if you start getting picked on. You know, if you get too aggressive on that, then teams are going to run post wheel on you, and you just, you know, you left a post open or the wheel open or whatever, or mills or whatever. So he's got to fix that, but it's not like... He doesn't look dumb out there, where there has been some really athletic, like Nick Cross, who we talked about a couple years ago out of Maryland, who was like, hey, man, he's an athlete. He can make some plays, but he just doesn't understand the safety position at all. So I have him as a late second rounder. Like I said, I have four safeties who with second round grades, and Cam Kitchens, Cole Bishop, Newbin, and then DTD is the fourth.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan. 100%.
Let's talk about Malik Mustafa, the safety out of Wake Forest, and then we'll get a little negative. Even though we're only really negative about one more player on this, the other guys were maybe not be high on, but not as negative. I love watching his film. He's 5'10", 209 pounds, so he's short, but he's yoked up. He has 13 tackles for a loss the last two seasons, Justin. Since we've been doing draft coverage, I have never seen a DB be this good of a tackler. Like, every aspect. We're not talking about a guy, oh, just goes and does big hits and headhunting. Right? Like, I don't think he even gets... I don't think he has any penalties, like, when you look at on PFF for coverage stuff.
And he's not just an ankle diver, too.
Oh, an ankle diver? He's, like, freaking... Like, Brian Urlacher out there. Yeah. Like, it's insane the way he tackles. He does it with perfect form. He squares up. And he drives his legs and knocks back, like, every single time. And I'm talking about, like, Justin, we're not talking about just, oh, he squared up some Will Shipley from Clemson, you know, a smaller back. Trey Benson from FSU, Audric Estime from Notre Dame. Those are two powerful big guys. And he was able to square them up and knock them back versus tight ends. Like, it was insane. And he's just such a great run defender with that, that it's like, hey, I don't know what your projection 100% is going to be. I don't know if you're going to, you know, I'm not, and I don't think he's ever going to be a Pro Bowl or a pro, but you are going to be in the league for a long time the way he plays the run and tackles.
I mean, I hate to say it, but I mean, even as a special teamer, he's going to be in the league for a long time.
Yeah, and he's not, like, and we can talk about coverage. Like, his overall athleticism is solid, not great. I think he I don't want to use change of direction, because I don't think he has bursts out of that change of direction, but he's kind of like smooth and like good in his transitions to stay with the player. But In coverage, he's going to do his responsibility, Justin, but he's never going to be ahead of it. Like we just talked about with the last three guys, like Newman, Kitchens, and DTD. He's never going to read the route concepts and get ahead of it and get an interception. Yeah, hey, it showed up in the stats. He only had three interceptions over the last three seasons.
And my note is reactive instead of anticipates, but I still feel like he was where he needed to be in coverage.
Yeah, he's not out there making big mistakes, right? Like, he's playing his zone, but he's not going to make a bunch of plays from... He's not going to be a playmaker in coverage, but he's not going to be out of place either.
Yeah, and it's really... I had a really funny moment where I don't know if I've ever seen two people say the exact opposite thing, especially two people that I respect. Brugler says he stays disciplined on pump fakes and attempts to draw him out of position. And then Lance Zierlein said the exact opposite, that he'll bite on play action and pump fakes. I have never seen the exact opposite note on a scouting report like that before. And I said special teams, and I have written down experience as a gunner in kick coverage, and that was like a note that I saw multiple times, so I decided to put it down. Half field responsibilities, I think it needs to be a must for him. I wrote down before we talked about DTD, I wrote down Jordan Whitehead as like, I feel like you can become a little bit of like a Jordan Whitehead player, which I really like Whitehead from his time with the Jets and then obviously his time with the Bucks. Now he's back with the Bucks, who is a risk taker, but an aggressive safety I would like on my team. Like, yes, absolutely. So I'm Mustafa, if he winds up being a Giant, I think I'm like kind of relegating him to maybe being a box safety, but also a safety that can, you know, split too high and spend time back there. I don't really view him as a free safety, but man, he'll be physical. And if we want to get physicality and be aggressive on defense, I certainly think he can do that. The only I have red flags.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a box safety in the NFL, which is a good thing. It's good. Yeah. It's a very good and important thing to have a good box safety, but he also just doesn't bring the value that the deep safeties do.
Right. He's 22 in June. And he tore his ACL in 2021 and then missed three games in 2022. So we saw the best of him in 2023 body-wise. And I have him, consensus has him 135, while Brugler has him ranked 84.
So I have him as in the same range as Brugler, then. I have him as a third-round pick.
Yeah.
Nate Tice has him as safety one.
Oh.
I kind of agree with Nate Tice on a lot of things when I was looking at his big board. It's like, ooh, you got Theo Johnson tight end too as well. You like this guy. So shout out Nate Tice.
30 visit for Sanat and Theo Johnson, tight ends.
I know, dude. And who were their 30 visits last year? Top 30. Stop calling them 30 visits. They're called top 30 visits. Who were they last year for the Giants?
Payne Durham. And
Luke Musgrave, which that one didn't make sense because we were never going to be in range to take Luke Musgrave, even if the Giants, I guess they were in range, but I don't think that would have been a smart high second round pick, but I did like Musgrave, just injured. Maybe that's why they brought him in, was because of the injuries. But Payne Durham, we wanted him, and I think the Giants kind of did too. All right, Justin, why don't you talk to us about something before we get a little negative on this?
You know, I don't have to talk to you about anything, actually. But you know what? I'll give a plug for shop.johnboymedia.com. There you go. Talking Giants store has some stuff on it. It's got some Talking Giants stuff.
Get the draft hoodies, man. You got to get them before the draft.
The draft hoodie. Get the draft hoodie. I even like, hey, if you don't have even get all the draft hoodies. I collect them all. Get the collector's item. So, shop.johnboymedia.com, our store. And even if you buy stuff from our store, it makes us look good. And I know you like us making, like us making look good. Thank you.
Or you might make us looking bad. Let's talk about someone who looks bad, Justin. Actually, he looks good, plays bad. And that's Jaden Hicks, the safety out of Washington State. 6'2", 211 pounds. Woo! Woo, that's a big boy.
Not small.
Vertical jump, 37 and a half inch. Three cone drill, 6.88. Shuttle, 4.37. That's really good. That's really good. Justin, we talk about consensus and stuff. I don't think I've been this lower on a player compared to the perceived view of him since Wyatt Davis, right? When Wyatt Davis views a second round pick, and I was like, this guy is a day three pick, and that's being nice because he's got to go somewhere. I can't stand watching him play. Like, I think he must be living off of a few highlights, right? Like, there's one, I don't remember what game it was, but he smacks a dude over. It might have been USC, where he just smacks a guy over the middle of the field, right? And then versus the Washington, they run a slot fade. I think it was Jalen Polk, and he has this crazy interception on Michael Penix Jr. So there is some highlights there. And he does play like a versatile role for Washington State too, right? Where he played all those things. I don't like his game at all. And I'm going to start with the tackling, right? Because his tackling is we talk about Malik Mustafa. It's the opposite. It's awful. He misses them consistently. Where at the point where I was watching his film, I was just waiting for him to miss the tackles instead of, like, it was a surprise when he did make the tackles. Sometimes it's from really bad angles in the open field. He gets juked at the point of attack consistently. And when he does get hands on guys, he's soft in doing it, and it will let defenders or offensive players break free. Or if he does bring him down, they're sure as hell falling forward. But hey, he has some highlight big hits. And then in coverage, Justin, he has no feel for passing off concepts. He loses his leverage from deep. His feet will just get stuck staring at the QB in zone. Yeah, the whole play will be happening around him, and he's just standing in one spot looking at the QB. And when he's in man coverage versus quick defenders, he gets cooked unless it's a seam vertical route. Like, he's got the speed to run with those guys. And I couldn't believe this either. I watched him quit on multiple plays. And I would like to know if someone who's like a Washington State or fan that listens to this by chance, did he get benched versus UCLA? Because it was a one-point game in the fourth quarter, and all of a sudden he was gone for a drive. And the previous drive was he quit on the last play. And I'm talking, like, just flat-out quits on plays, not chasing the runner. Like, to me, Justin, I am so low on him. I view him as a sixth-round pick.
Oh!
And I do not think he's going to find success in the NFL.
39 on Brugler's board and 79 consensus media.
I can't believe that. I need someone who loves him to, like, not just tell me what you like about him, because you're going to say, oh, he's got big speed, coach him up. No, I want you to show me on film 20 plays where you're like, this is why I think he has success at the next level. Because you can show me five. Everyone's got a highlight tape. But it's just consistently bad football. And I'm not drafting someone who plays consistently bad football because he's 6'2 and runs fast in a straight line. Because his change of direction is lacking, despite a good three-cone drill.
He's 21. He's going to be 22 by the start of the season. This is one of the youngest safeties that we're talking about. So, hey, you know, there's time. He can grow. He has the ideal NFL size and athleticism, and there's not a lot of guys that have both of those things, right?
I don't even think he has. I think he runs a great... If he's running up the seams with someone, he can do it. Anytime there's change of direction is asked of him, it's not there. And then as far as, like, the size, can he have big hits, right? Yes. When he's got a free gap and he's given the green light, can he make a play? Yes. But he gets moved consistently by blockers. Like, he plays soft in the box, and he consistently gets moved by blockers. So where I just... You know... If there's one thing I've been good at draft analysis is finding the players who people are high on and being like, what is this? And I haven't felt this strongly against it besides maybe Wyatt Davis, who, yeah. Is he still on our practice squad? On our horrible interior offensive line last year? And then maybe Troy Anderson, like the quarterback turned linebacker from the small school. But at least him, it's like, okay, he's brand new to the linebacker spot.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. I saw some of the things that you did where, man, the feet getting stuck in cement was like, come on, man. Like, you have the athleticism. You should have the, maybe not the quickness, because he has good long speed, but it takes a little while for him to get going. But feet are just staying in cement, especially when I saw that he was trying to reach and punch if tight ends or receivers or whoever was kind of going by him. It's like we need to do two things at once here. We need to be punching and we need to be reaching, or we need to be trying to be physical and make contact and move our feet at the same time. Like that, two things need to happen at once here, and it just wasn't. So yeah, man, I don't know if sixth round is fair, because this guy is athletic and there isn't a lot of safeties in this class that are athletic, that have this size. I mean, this is NFL safety size and NFL safety athleticism. And if you get a coaching staff that sees the highlight plays and it's like, well, I just need to round it and become more consistent, then I could see a team liking it. So I don't know, a sixth round may be a little too
rich.
Why
am I betting that the guy who quits on plays is going to be the guy who takes great to coaching and turns into a different player?
That's true.
Right? If it was 100% effort all the time, okay, we can get behind this. And again, it's consistently bad, right? There's other guys we've talked about where it's like, yeah, there's some bad moments, but it's like, okay, but if you can clean some of that stuff up, it's just consistently bad. Where I'm really, really low on this guy.
Yeah. Only 2 years of starting experience, where some of these guys we're talking about have like four or three. 13 pass deflections over the last 2 years, 7 pass deflections, 22, and then 6 and 23. So he's got some ball production. I don't know. I'm with you in some spots where
I think
certainly
it's just the combine. He has a good RAS score and an interception on Michael Penix.
I don't know. 39 overall for Brugler, and he is the number one safety.
That's crazy to me. So again, that's where I'm the lowest on somebody compared to what everyone else is saying.
I'm somewhere in the middle where I don't know if I view him as a sixth-round pick, but certainly not. Won't be thrilled if, hey, 39 overall, we have the 40th pick. If we're taking Jaden Hicks because he's young and athletic and that's what Joe Shane likes, I'm not thrilled with that.
Yeah. All right, Justin, let's talk about a Georgia safety. We're going to finish off with three SEC guys. Georgia safety Javon Bullard, 5'10", 198 pounds. I struggle with Bullard, Justin, because I think he's solid in every area, but I think he doesn't have like, oh, he's really good in this area, he's really good in this area, really good in this area. But he also doesn't have those weak. He doesn't have those weaknesses, and you know, he basically changed positions. Tyke Smith, like he changed from like that star role, which we'll talk about Tyke Smith, who filled that role this past year for Georgia, to a deep safety. And to me, with Bullard, it's versatility. So I think he's someone you can put on the field. But I don't think he's ever going to give you like an advantage in any area of the game. But he has So again, this is comparing him to the last one. He does have athleticism, and you see him play smart. That I think he can figure it out to maybe be like a starting level safety in the NFL. I don't think he'll ever be like one of the better ones, but I think he can be a starting level safety in the NFL.
Yeah, he's 21 years old. Grades out really well. Like one of the questions, I actually did some prep on him before the Senior Bowl. You know, one of the questions that I have is, will he solely line up at safety or also at slot corner? He had 510 snaps in the slot in 2022. Then, like you said, he changed over to free safety, 362 snaps at free safety in 2023. Like he is one of these guys where I was doing this with Brian Branch last year, and he's nowhere near Brian Branch. But I was having this conversation with myself, like, do we think he's a slot corner, or do we think that he's a safety? And I still don't know where I lie on, because I feel like he's an instinctive player who reads, reacts, he pounces. I think he can really do this in zone coverage, reading the QB's eyes. I feel like he has good route recognition. I think he takes some solid angles. I think he's a fierce football player who's willing to get his nose dirty, even as a, you know, I think he's a plus-plus ankle diver as well, you know, because you're not going to have 5'11", 195 pounds, you're not really going to be taking on guys, wrapping them up and bringing them to the ground.
He has some big hits too, right?
Yeah, he does.
You know, he's a good run defender.
Will you have those in the NFL, those big hits in the NFL? I don't think so. And I think that's one of the things that I'm learning throughout this, you know, doing the draft, is some of the undersized guys that have big hits in college, you're maybe not going to have them in the NFL. Maybe is the correct word to use there. So here's my thing with Bullard. I really like Bullard because he seems to be a good football player and not just an athlete who's fast, who can run side to side and make some big hits. But is that worth a second, like, you know, where I think he's being projected is like a second round pick, you know, maybe
yeah,
even
a nickel.
That's
not where you can take him there. So I'm lower than consensus there, but I don't think he's a loss Where with the last guy, I don't see it happening. I can see Bullard being a solid player in the NFL.
Maybe a nickel corner, but we're not even fully solid that he can play nickel. And I even went back to 2022 and I watched a game versus Ricky Pearsall. And man, he was getting his feet, and Ricky Pearsall's really good, but he was getting his feet caught in cement while facing quickness and the subtlety of Pearsall's game and how Pearsall was able to really sink his hips and get in and out of his breaks. And
yeah, you can't put him in man coverage on slot receivers.
No, so that's where I started to lie towards the end of my kind of write-up, where it's like, I don't know if he is a slot corner because I'm watching him in man coverage and it's not that good, but can you actually play safety? So it's a little bit of a back and forth with Bullard and where, at least where he's being projected. And that's where I always kind of, I know you don't do that with your evals, Bobby, but I always kind of do that with my evals. I see where a guy's projected and then I'll kind of go from there about what I see. And I don't know if I see somebody who's being graded this high and, you know, at the second safety on the consensus board at 52. I don't feel I see that.
Who is one? Newbin?
Newbin is one on the consensus, yeah.
Yeah, see, I disagree with that strongly. So maybe I am lower than him than I thought. Yeah, he is not the number two safety.
I like him,
I think he's at the same level as his teammate who we're going to talk about.
Well, that's,
even though they're very different players.
I think that's a little low. I think Bullard's better than that, but I just have trouble seeing a role right now for Bullard to be successful. Like, if you want to take a player that high,
With the next guy, Tyke Smith, there is a clear role, and that's why I view them as the same, even though Bullard has more athleticism and is more versatile. Find me the role where he's killing it in the NFL, where he does that really well, and I don't see that with Bullard. But I also can be wrong about that because he's got the athleticism. He seems like a smart player, and there is enough good plays where you can see it happening.
And we just talked about with Cam Kitchens and all these guys, and you know, good football. If you're a good football player who anticipates and has range and all that stuff like that, those are the traits that transfer over to safety. We kind of described that a little bit with Bullard, but it's so tough to sometimes evaluate some of these SEC schools that utilize the star position. It's like, well, what's your role in the NFL? What is it exactly going to look like? And sometimes we don't know.
Well, let's talk about someone who did play that star role, which again is used in the NFL. There's guys who have found success with it, and that's Tyke Smith, the safety out of Georgia. 5'10", 2 pounds, 4'4", 640. He had 11 tackles for a loss the last two seasons, 4 interceptions this last year as he really grew into a starter role. He's just a really good run defender, right? Like, he can, and coverage, he can play his zone coverage responsibilities underneath and deep at times. He's never going to play a full role, but like, if you put him in those underneath zone coverage responsibilities, he can do a good job. So with Tyke Smith, it's and again, maybe this is why you disagree with me with Bullard, and it's fair, is that Tyke Smith is a very, you do play that star role, which again is, you know, Taylor Rapp has made a good amount of money in the NFL by mastering that role with the Los Angeles Rams. But like, he's a legit good run defender, takes on blocks really well with discipline. You know, and then when you give him the green light to go, he makes tackles for a loss, like the stats say, and he can blitz. He's had 4 sacks the last two seasons. And then in coverage, he's going to be physical. Now, he will get himself in trouble by being too aggressive at, you know, jamming up a slot receiver or a tight end and get left behind. But if you're leaving him in those underneath zones, he has all the ability in the world to make plays. So that's where, like, Taylor Rapp, is he one of the best safeties in the NFL? No, but he's got a useful role if he's used the right way. And I think that's where Tyke Smith falls.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Tyke Smith's 23. 1,356 career snaps in the slot and over 500 snaps there in 2023. So he played that star position. He's been in school since 2019, started at West Virginia, then he's been in Georgia the last 3 years, but only 1 year as a starter at Georgia. They have a pretty talented team. Hey, I saw this multiple times about raving about special teams blocking and ability. And I feel like you need that. If you're talking about a guy that's being projected as a day three guy, hey, I'll include all, if I see something special teams, I'll include it. And I feel like I have a note. I feel like I'm watching a linebacker, the way that he approaches tackling, especially in in the open field. 6 pass deflections, 4 interceptions this year, 31 and 5/8 inch arms is pretty solid too. Led the team in tackles, interceptions, and tackles for loss this year. Now, I will say,
was Georgia good?
Georgia was pretty good. Now, I know, like, I really do think Bullard is a better football player and will be drafted, you know, higher than Smith. But I do have a note, and I forgot that I put this note. Is it crazy to prefer Smith in the 4th to 5th round instead of Bullard in the 2nd?
And crazy. It would be crazy to not want that.
Yeah.
With Bullard, here's where if you're like, hey, Bullard's just a better player. Sure. And I have Bullard rated above Tyke Smith, so I guess I do agree. But I think they're pretty similar in where they should go. Bullard can handle every role. But I think Bullard's going to be probably a backup safety, right? Which is valuable. Depth matters. Where Tyke Smith, I think you can put him on a contender and he can have a role from day one. Is it going to be, you know, is he going to be the best player on that defense? Is he going to be the guy people, you know, teams talk about? Commentators talk about on ESPN? No. But I think he's going to have a valuable role in the NFL for some, if some team drafts him and uses him the right way. And that's why I like Tyke Smith, even though I view him as a day 3 guy as well.
Last guy.
Let's go quick through him. Even though he's fun, but he's another guy who's been in college for a long time. Do you have his age?
24.
Very 24, old. So he's older. So Jalen Simpson, the safety out of Auburn. 6 foot, 179 pounds. So he's really light. But man, he's a pretty like good coverage player. Like he's got good speed. He's an overall smooth mover. You know, he can he's got like good burst to get downhill on these underneath routes. He'll even look for big, like I like his energy. Aura is my least favorite word in the world right now.
You like his aura.
I like his energy, not his aura.
Well, no, just like stuff also like
making
Aura's
a big
slack.
Hit and letting a guy know. Like there was, I can't remember who he was playing, but he came down on a crosser and just dislodged the ball without it being like a penalty type of hit. So, and he's got the good ball skills to, you know, get his hands on it and break up passes, but he's, again, the slender frame is not just a weight on the roster. He is not going to be good against the run. Like he gets bullied in the run because of his size.
He's a former corner, with pretty long arms.
Makes sense.
Over 32 inch arms. It was exactly 32 inches at his pro day. So, he tests really well for his safety. Some other good measurables for despite his weight as well. I feel like he brings that versatility in some of the corner skills to flip his hips, and he has movements. He has good movement skills for a safety. It's gonna be a tough ask to be a run defender in the NFL. Has that corner body with long arms. But I have a question of like, can he go back to corner despite fully transitioning out of corner at Auburn? Like that's kind of my question on him. But for a day 3 player, I'm sure a team will have time to kind of decide that. But also being 24, even for day 3, 24 kind of has me and Joe Shane out already, especially as a player that has to develop.
Unless you're a defensive tackle. And then
tackle.
Joe Shane will draft you at, you know, 45 years old.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just like his temperament as a player with those coverage, plus coverage skills. Like, okay, that maybe that finds the role. But, again, I agree with you. He's a day 3 pick player. All right, Justin, that's an episode. Want to keep this under an hour, so we'll end it here. We'll be back 3 episodes next week. How about that? Grinding the tape. We appreciate you guys. Enjoy your weekend. Until then, let's go Big Blue.
John Boy Media has a new teammate. It's iHeart Podcast. What does it mean? John Boy Media shows can now be found over at the Dan Patrick Show. That's right. How cool is that? Wake and Jake and Jimmy's Three Things have joined the iHeart Podcast and Dan Patrick Show family. And the best part, they'll still continue to be the same shows you know and love. If you couldn't tell, we're excited about this one, and thank you guys for listening.